You're listening to the Loyalty Minute, the show that helps you build better customer loyalty and more valuable user engagement with your host, Rob Gallo.
Welcome, loyal listeners, to another episode of the Loyalty Minute. I'm your host, Rob Gallo, and today I'm super eager and excited to speak with Pratik Dayal. Pratik is the Chief Strategy Officer at Achilles. It's a MarTech solution provider that seeks to restore trust, transparency, and equitability in a fragmented digital marketing ecosystem. Thanks for joining me on the show, Pratik.
Hi, Rob. Cheers. Thanks for having me on. Pleasure to be on with you.
Yeah, so we're on opposite sides of the earth, and I just finished dinner, and you're just getting your day started. So if you could, give us a little bit of background about yourself, your company, where you came from, and how you got to where you are now.
Right, sure. Cheers, Rob. We might be different parts of the world, but I guess we're all locked down. So in that sense, it's all the same. A bit about me and the company. So Achilles, we are a nine-month-old startup, right? I am the chief strategy officer of the company. My personal background is in banking for my past sins, and I find myself in a MarTech startup now. Don't ask me how. It's a long story. I won't bore you with it. But in terms of a bit about the company, so what do we do, right? So Achilles, basically, our mantra is blockchain for marketing. Right. So we want to leverage the power of blockchain technology to serve for two or three very specific use cases in the overall marketing industry. Right. And one of those use cases is loyalty management. Right. So specifically when it comes to loyalty, you know, we're predominantly in the kind of B2B space or a B2B2C space. And I'll elaborate on that, what that means. Right. But basically our raison d'etre with respect to loyalty is that we want to, through our tech stack, we want to be able to provide greater transparency of how a loyalty program is performing to all the stakeholders. So the stakeholders could be the loyalty program owner, it could be the earning partner, it could be the redemption partner, right? To be able to provide real-time transparency of how the program is performing, and also to be able to automate reconciliation, because reconciliation is a pain. And when I say reconciliation, for example, you know, at the end, periodically, the loyalty program owner needs to settle with these participating merchants, et cetera. And that can be, that's typically manual. There's a lot of to and fro. It holds up payments, et cetera. So our mantra, back to what Rob mentioned earlier, was to give more transparency, convenience by providing reconciliation to the stakeholders in the loyalty system. Just want to clarify, we are not a loyalty program operator. Think of us as a kind of technology provider to the ecosystem.
Nice. Okay. Well, I'm a blockchain fanatic. I love the concept of blockchain, the decentralization of the data. It's interesting, you know, beyond cryptocurrency, I think there is a tremendous number of use cases for blockchain. And obviously this is one of them. So as it ties into loyalty, Pratik, let me ask you this. And I ask most of my guests on the show, how does loyalty, or what does loyalty mean to you as a consumer, right? The brand you're loyal to, and why? And if you could think of it in specific stories that might be anecdotal that people could take away as to why Pratik would be loyal to a company.
Right, sure. So listen, I think, and again, I'm not a big shopper, so, you know, it's a pretty dull existence, right? But for me as a loyal customer, right, I think it's all about customer experience. And I will try to tie it in with, you know, the space that we operate in. And by customer experience, I mean is, if the entity that I am loyal to, what my expectations from them are, that the customer experience needs to be seamless. And there's a couple of elements to what this customer experience is to my mind, right? So one is, if I am being rewarded with points based on a certain activity that I do, then that crediting of points after that activity has been done should ideally be real time, right? And you know, once I'm done with this, I'll bring it to life with an example, right? So the rewarding of points should be in real time, right? Mm-hmm. I should then also have the ability, once I've got the points, to be able to redeem them immediately. So in an ideal world, this whole business of basically being of doing my activity, being credited for with points as a consequence of that, and then being able to redeem those points, I mean, the time lag between this should be basically minimal, right? Now, today, the problem statement is that, you know, Think of the loyalty. I'm just going to simplify the loyalty ecosystem. If you think about it in terms of three key stakeholders, you got the program owner, you got the earning partner, and you got the redemption partner. Now, each of these entities have their own siloed databases in which they record their loyalty information, right? So I, as a program owner, I have a record of what, and I'm the customer of the loyalty program owner. So, you know, they keep a record of what I'm doing. But similarly, the other two stakeholders have their own siloed systems. Because you have siloed systems, you are not typically able to firstly get that real-time customer experience, right? So for example, if you are the issuing partner, right? I as a customer engage with that issuing partner, and the partner then records in the database that, you know, Prateek came up to them, did this thing, for example, did five tweets for which I have to award them with a point, right? But that information is recorded in their own siloed database, which then is not passed on in real time to the loyalty program owner. So the LPO, for all intents and purposes, does not get to know that, you know what, Prateek just tweeted five times in his example, right? And that I should be awarding them with 1 point. They only get to know of this fact, whatever, 5 days, 7 days, even a month after it's happened, depending on the scheme, right? So imagine where in this ecosystem, each of these partners were on a common shared database, right? Or a distributed database or a shared version of the truth, i.e., blockchain. Where what's going to happen is, as soon as I've tweeted five times, for example, the fact that I've done that is recorded onto this database, which is now visible to the LPO. That allows them to then credit me with points in real time. All right. So everybody, each of these stakeholders in this example, because they have a shared, distributed, common version of the truth, knows exactly what Prateek has done, and therefore is able to be awarded with something in with points in real time. Once Prateek's got his points, then they can use that to redeem against a redemption partner, basically. Okay.
Let me ask you this, though. How does it work in terms of a purchase? Let's just say, from what I'm gathering, Prateek, you're mentioning it as sort of, you do this action, you tweet and say, we're going to give you a reward for tweeting. There's no cost basis theoretically other than the person's time to do that. But if they made a purchase of something and you issued points based on that, that person could theoretically return that product, yes?
Yeah, that's right.
And what would happen to the points then?
So that's right. So this layer is basic. So firstly, when I make the purchase, just like with the tweet example, right? The fact that I made the purchase is recorded on the blockchain, right?
Yeah.
So therefore, the merchant knows that I purchased something and the LPO knows that I purchased something, and then I'm awarded with points for that purchase.
Right.
So that's all good till then, right? Similarly, in a scenario where this, and I haven't come across this yet, right? But similarly, in a return scenario, the fact that I've returned the product, right, will be recorded on that database by that same merchant, right? Now, how the entities, the merchant and the LPO, then what they do about that, i.e., for example, do they deduct my points or do this without deducting? Do they settle in the background? I mean, that's a business decision. That's up to them, really. Right. But this fact of what I have done with the merchant with respect to the loyalty program, i.e., purchased a product, returned it, and the impact that has on my points is going to be recorded, is going to be visible and recorded on the blockchain in real time to these stakeholders.
So again, as you mentioned at the top of the program, you're doing the technology per se, not necessarily the loyalty program. You're just providing the engine for someone else to do on your tech stack.
That's right.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. All right. That makes sense. So again, I want to go back to the first question though, because I want to get the mindset of yourself as a consumer. So let's say an airline. Or you go and get petrol. What type of companies do you look for to do business with that keep you loyal, and how do they do it? I know you said a customer experience at the top of the show, but you know, what sort of experiences that you've had, either positive or negative, keep you enthralled with a company or say, I'm not doing business with them again?
Yeah.
For you.
Sure. So one example is, so apart from a seamless customer experience, right? So one, just personally for me, what I really enjoyed or I remember or recall is personalization, And what that really means is that, you know, sure, I've racked up these points and then I can redeem with, you know, with these merchants, fine. You know, that's a static thing, right? And the number of merchants can go up and down, etc., right? But based on my activity of redemption, of earning points, etc., what I have, for example, in Singapore, you know, it's a ride-hailing app, right? But now these days, it's a super app, basically, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, they do everything, right? But what I've seen is from time to time, they're able to personalize offers. And I'm making this up, right? So, but just to give you an illustration, which is a bit like, Prateek, you know, we've noticed that, you know, you've done this in the last week. You've done these five activities in the last week. Here, you know, we'll tell you what we'll do. For the sixth time that you do this, you know, we'll give you one extra or, mm-hmm. you know, 10% off, etc. What that basically, that takes, what I take away from it is you have actually taken the trouble of creating or personalizing a specific reward just for me based on my specific interaction, right? So to the best of my knowledge, you personalized it for me. You didn't throw it out as a blanket that, you know, everybody who does this five times a week, the sixth time they get it. You did it for me is how I interpret it. And that is something that I appreciate, right? Again, sorry to go back to that, is we are able to do that. The loyalty program owner is able to do that. The merchant is able to do that. They're able to personalize my experience because they have real-time visibility of what I'm doing. If you don't know that I have taken these five trips in the last 1 week, you only get to know that in a month's time, then that's no good. I need to know it in real time.
Yeah. It's interesting you say that too, because all right, so here's a story that I'll share with you. So I used to live in New York, and I was across the ferry, across the Long Island Sound from two different casinos, Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun. I've been to both number of occasions, but Foxwoods, here's an example of what I think about when I think about loyalty and a customer experience. My wife and myself go. We go there, and when we come back 3 days later, without fail, I get a piece of mail, and she gets a piece of mail. The mail that I get mentions about poker. It tells me all the poker schedule for the following month, any specials, promotions, et cetera, et cetera. Hers is more about a slots tournament that they have, things like that, shopping stuff. So they personalize it based on exactly like you said, knowing my preference. They don't send me anything about blackjack or craps. They know I don't play that as regularly as I do poker. So exactly like you said, and that's 3 days later, not a month later. So that's it's right. Fresh in my mind.
That's right. And if I may just add to that, Rob, listen, I can't come up with a casino example. It's been years, right? But basically, personalization can be done by two entities as well, if you think about it in a very straightforward example. It can be the program owner who are personalizing your experience, right? And it talks to your example. But it could equally be that participating merchant that is able to give you a personalized offer, even though you're not part of their loyalty program. You see what I mean, right? Mm-hmm. So personalization can be delivered by any other stakeholders, so long as they have visibility of what you are, how you're engaging with them.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's good. I think it should be that way. It should really be that type of scenario where, you know, it's always in the consumer's best interest, for sure.
And also, true. So not only do I get a seamless experience, but if you think about it from a program owner's perspective, you know, if you look at these bond loyalty reports and so on and so forth, everybody keeps going on about how points expire, is a kind of balance sheet, you know, liabilities, etc. But the reality is what we figured out in some of the pilots we've done is that from a program owner perspective, the more I personalize, I'm able to make sure I'm able to optimize my balance sheet as well. I want to make sure that, you know, the points are being fully utilized, my customers are engaged, and personalization goes a long way in helping you do that as a program owner. So there's some benefit that side as well.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so let's move on. Let's look at it from now a business to business perspective from your side, not the consumer, but from the B2B side. I know you're a startup, but you've had experience in the business world, and I'm sure in the B2B space of managing other companies that you've worked with. What are some of the pain points that it has, that you've had, when it comes to creating and maintaining loyalty on that, you know, on that professional side?
Sure. So back to the example. So let's think about it. So the as is today, as I said, was, you know, siloed systems, and that has implications. So the exam statement, so the problem statement is the LPO has their own siloed system in which they record my information with respect to loyalty. The merchant where I redeem has their own siloed system, mm-hmm. right? Now, typically what happens is, again, it varies, but these two entities need to reconcile, say, in a month's time. So the merchant will basically invoice the LPO and says, you know what, for the last 1 month, you know, Prateek came to my shop, whatever, to redeem these things. And therefore, you know, as a consequence, you owe me this much money, mm-hmm. right? So they raise an invoice and they'll send a log of data to the LPO. LPO turns around and says, I don't agree with it. You know, there are like 10 line items here. 9 makes sense. This 10th one, I don't recognize. Send back. Goes back to and fro, right? So firstly, there's a manual. So this whole reconciliation process is manual. Therefore, what it leads to is delayed payments. When I say settlement, I mean, I mean it in a way of, you know, the merchant who needs to be paid by the LPO because the reconciliation is delayed, get paid later, leading to trapped working capital, right, for the receiving party. So therefore, so that's one big pain point, right? So manual intervention, delayed payments. So imagine a world now where this reconciliation is automated based on pre-agreed rules. So this is what we do. When we go in, we'll say, right, you guys, merchant, LPO, you agree that if there is ever a discrepancy, you agree how you want to reconcile. So this could be any rule. It's not for us to define, it's for them to agree. So it could be, say, the midpoint. If I say 10, they say 8, just take 9, we're all good. Mm-hmm. So that reconciliation happens in real time using smart contracts on the blockchain. So the answer is 9. And everybody knows that it was 9 transactions and that the payment needs to be made based on 9. That's it. So reconciliation automated, no manual intervention required, payments sped up, basically. So that's the single biggest pain point.
Now, you got my brain thinking now, Prateek. What, where does, so I understand how the blockchain for cryptocurrency works, where everybody is doing the equations and solving the things to ultimately get their little reward. How does, is this a decentralized blockchain system that you have?
Yeah, so basically think about it as simply, and again, I'm a non-techie, right? And so the way I think about it in my simple mind is, it's basically the same database shared between the LPO and the merchant. So they each have a copy of this database. What's in the database? You know, it differs from detail to detail, but broadly speaking, in the context of loyalty, it will say, here is Prateek. These are the number of points they've got. This is what he bought a pizza with that merchant on such and such date for that points. You know, I'm oversimplifying it. But that visibility is available to both. As soon as you make a change to one database, both databases get updated. So that's a property of blockchain. It's not as if, you know, I make an addition to one or amend one database and it's not going to be reflected on the other. Both get updated basically at the same time. So therefore, I know both these entities know exactly at any given point in time what is Prateek up to. Subject to privacy, right? Now, just to be clear, it's not as if I'm a merchant. There'll be multiple merchants. Merchant A need not see how Prateek is engaging with merchant B. Right. There are some privacy controls built in. But merchant A and the loyalty program owner will be aligned in terms of what Prateek has been up to in their context.
Yes, I get it. Yeah, that makes sense.
There is no crypto involved. Can I just say, you know, blockchain, crypto, lots being talked about. There is no cryptocurrency. There are no tokens, right? Right. None of the pure reconciliation play. A quick thing I may add, because I refer to, we predominantly focus on the B2B space. What we've also done is, you know, as we were having these discussions, right, the power of blockchain for the purposes of our outline, some of our basically clients came back and said, right, why don't you also reward the act of rewarding customers with loyalty points, why can that not be automated? Today, what happens is the LPO gets a file, as I said to you, then somebody sits there and says, okay, Prateek bought 5 pizzas, so let me give them one, you know, so that is entered manually, right, etc. But what we've done in some of the pilots is also, in addition to what I described, was that the individual, the customers are automatically awarded with points based on pre-agreed rules using smart contracts on the blockchain, right? But there is no cryptocurrency, there is no other crypto token, right, currency, none of that sort.
But there's value to that customer in the sense that I can redeem these points for more merchandise from this merchant at a discounted rate, let's say, right?
Immediately, in real time, yes.
In real time, yeah. Yeah. Great. I love it. You know, I think this is really the way technology, especially in this space, in the loyalty space is headed in this direction. Because like you say, I know the legacy systems because I have another company that does a lot of business in the loyalty reward space. The legacy systems that are out there right now are just so antiquated. It could be 45 days before the settlement, right? And it's just, it's too long in today's immediate gratification economy.
Yeah. You know, and some of the small businesses, and if I'm a small merchant, you know, I need my money sooner than that, please, right? Especially during these times, right? Cash is, king, basically. Yeah.
All right. So let me move on then. So in an ideal world, Prateek, what would your customer loyalty and engagement strategy look like from a future perspective? And I know we're talking pretty futuristic stuff now, but you're doing it in real time now at Achilles. So what does, to reiterate, you're on the cutting edge, but what does the customers that you deal with, the clients that you deal with, how do you see them adopting this, or are they going to adopt it in the future? What are the strategies they might use?
That's true. Listen, I'm obviously biased, right? But what I'm going to say is that this distributed nature of loyalty program is the way forward to be able to give more real-time visibility, personalization, reconciliation, all that sort of stuff, right? So that's a model we need to move to. Let me just throw in another thing, right? It is to do with first-party data. Now, the reality here is, just to be clear, you know, the information about a customer that is part of a loyalty scheme is technically first-party data, right? You know, of the LPO, mm-hmm. or even of a merchant if I'm now their customer as well, right? As we know, CCPA, GDPR, all these data privacy laws, you know, even in this part of the world, they've all come out and saying, basically, you know, if you own first-party data and if you process first-party data, you have these obligations. Right, you need to do it in a certain manner, and you are there are certain obligations that you need to meet for your customers, you know, right to consent and right to etc., all that sort of stuff, right? So, mm-hmm. therefore, my point, Rob, is also what we as loyalty program technology operators or technology providers, call us what you will, also need to be able to understand that we are using first party data, and that now in the new world, we have to make sure that it is used in a compliant private way such that the brand, the loyalty program owner, is able to meet their various obligations under CCPA and GDPR. And so that's something to be conscious of. It's something that we realized when we were doing all these pilots as well. And that's where blockchain can also be very powerful because of all its cryptography and encryption and so on, right? So you do not deal with first party data. You only deal with it in an encrypted, pseudonymized manner. So that's the other benefit you get. But I just want to your point, this is something that, I mean, this recent CCPA goes live now, you know, it's been announced, etc. So it's something that we need to be conscious of, people who operate in the loyalty ecosystem.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of industry experts and insiders are saying that it's definitely headed that way in the United States. It hasn't been as stringent, so to say, as it has been in Europe. But it will be. And there's a lot of people that are taking proactive approaches in the space right now to become compliant with that sort of data. They're as safe as they can be, but there's no real, and there is probably on the horizon of, the level of security that you need to maintain first party data, you know? So it's definitely interesting. Like I said, I think you guys are onto something pretty exciting with Achilles, and I'm super eager and excited to share with the listeners. How could they get a hold of you, Prateek, if they wanted to find out more?
Yeah, sure. So www.achilles.com. Please have a look or at our website. We publish a lot of thought pieces there as well, right? So do have a look at our website. There's a whole bunch of content. We're pretty regular with blog posts and kind of webinars and new contents. Have a look at that. We're on Twitter. So please do check out our Twitter handle. And of course, happy to kind of provide, people can reach out to me, Rob. I don't know how we do this, but happy to provide my details if people want to reach out for any further questions.
You get them to me and I'll put them in the show notes and I'll spell Achilles because it's not spelled the...
I realize.
It's A-Q-I-L-L-I-Z, I believe. I'll have to look
that's right. Yeah. A-Q-I-L-L-I-Z.com.
Yeah. Correct. Okay. So, but I'll put it in the show notes so someone could just click on it. But for those that are listening, that's how you get there. So again, I know you're just getting your day started. I'm wrapping mine up, going to open up a bottle of red and call it a night over here. It's 9:30 where I am. So I wanted to thank you for taking your time, Pratik. It was a riveting conversation. I think people are going to get a lot from it. And I want to thank our loyal listeners for investing some of their valuable time with us. If you feel you received value from the show, we would definitely appreciate it, a 5-star review on your podcast streaming service. And if you know someone else who you think might enjoy listening to the program, please do share. This is how we grow the program. And to reference this and other Loyalty Minute episodes, please visit theloyaltyminute.com. Enjoy. Thanks, Pratik. We'll speak to you soon.
Cheers, Rob. Thanks a lot.
Speak All soon. Right, take Cheers. Care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for your next edition of the Loyalty Minute.